Prayer changes things. Amen. We've prayed for some people in some dire needs today, and I believe God is changing those situations. Amen. The Holy Spirit pinpointed what He wants to touch. Broken hearts, people with brain issues or headaches, migraines, those kind of things. And God is at work. Amen. So let's keep our faith on that this week. Don't let up on that. These people need relief. We thank God for it in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the clarity it gives us. Thank You, Lord, that it aligns us when we're off track. Lord, Your Word just puts us back in alignment. It guides us into the way of peace. And we thank You, Lord, for opening our eyes and our spiritual ears today to hear and see what we need from You, exactly what is our need for today. Give us this day our daily bread, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, you know, all throughout history, people label certain generations, certain groups of ages, certain things. Like years ago, I remember when the Gen X, right, Generation X was first labeled. I don't care for that, honestly. I don't think there's such a thing. I mean, I know there's generations that maybe endure more hardships than others, but kids are just kids, amen? and young people are just young people. But we have labels like that, Gen X, Gen Z. I don't know what we're up to now, because once you get to Z, where do you go from there, right? But, you know, there's a generation in the Bible that was labeled the generation of anger, the generation that made God angry. Did you know that? And we're going to read about it right here in Hebrews chapter 3. There was a generation that really ticked God off. And look at it here in Hebrews chapter 3. We'll read about that generation and why that is. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, this is referring to the time when God brought His people right up to the edge of the promised land. Do you remember that? And he sent Moses sent the spies in, 12 spies into the promised land. They were doing some little reconnaissance mission to go in and see how the land was and what kind of defenses the enemy had in place. And the spies came back. 10 of the spies turned the whole nation against God, right, in unbelief. They said, oh, yeah, the fruit's great there, but, yeah. Right? How many of you know doubt always has but involved? And they brought that bad report. Well, that's what that's referring to right there in verse 8, where it says, in the day of provocation. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, they proved me and saw my works for 40 years. Even though they had rebelled against God, and God said, okay, as a result, this generation is going to die off. Even during those 40 years of punishment, God still showed him His works over and over and over again, is what He's saying there. And look at verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Say grieved. God was grieved, and He said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This generation, now I want you to see, I hope you'll underline let me find it here. I thought I highlighted it, but I didn't. I should have, because I always tell you to highlight things, right? Okay, there it is in verse 9. You see in verse 9 in the King James, where your fathers tempted me, number one, they proved me, and they saw my works. Underline that word saw, or circle that word saw. That's very important. Because these people that came out of Egypt, they saw with their eyes the wonders of God. Amen? They saw God split the Red Sea. They saw God crush Pharaoh and his army in the depths of the sea. They saw the wonders of God. You might say that's kind of cheater faith, isn't it? Amen? It doesn't require faith when you see it all. It requires faith when you haven't seen it. Are you with me? In other words, this generation, the Bible says here, I was angry with that generation for 40 years. Why? Because they saw my works. Are you with me? Yes. They saw. This generation had privy to things that other generations didn't have. They saw God split the Red Sea. They saw all these wonders. And yet they still did not believe. So seeing is not believing, is it? Are you with me? Yep. Is seeing believing? That's a worldly slogan, by the way. It's not in the Bible. Seeing is not believing. This generation saw, and they did not believe. I'm concerned that our generation may be at risk for the same kind of anger, to be honest with you. Why? Because we've seen so much. Amen? We have seen so much. Think about it. We have seen both the Old Testament and the New Testament lived out in this book. Right? I mean, just from Genesis to Malachi, we've got about 4,000 years of biblical history. We see it. It's in print for you and I, right? That's been handed to us. We could have lived before the Gutenberg press. right? Before the Bible was printed, and we wouldn't have seen what this generation sees. What else do we see? We see the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation. We've got that in our hands too, don't we? We've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. We've seen Calvary 2,000 years ago. We saw Jesus die on the cross. We are aware of that. Amen? The gospel's been preached to us. We know of Jesus. We've also had 2,000 years of church history. Amen? Amen. We haven't just got the words of faith, but we've seen people of faith live out these words. Amen? Live out their faith before us for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. 2,000 years of church history. Wow, what we've been given. Besides that, we've got YouTube, computers, and apps. No other generation's had that. I mean, I can wake up in the middle of the night stressed out, fearful. I can pull up the Victory app right here on my phone. They've got 24/7 teaching, great teaching. If you don't have the Victory app, you're missing out. The Victory app has excellent, excellent teacher. You can dial up teacher of your choice, male or female. Big hair, little hair, dark skin, light skin. You pick them however you like, all right? But there's teachers galore on the Victory app, and you can pull that up 24/7. You can wake up in the night stressed, and you can pull up a teaching, and boom, God can speak to you right then. Whoever had that before the television generation, before the computer generation? Do you see where I'm getting to? What did it say about Israel? They saw his works. What are we? We're the generation who sees it all. I mean, we hear it all. We see it all. We have exposure to it all. Excellent 24/7 Christian television. You know, when I was a kid, TV went off the air about midnight. It just went frosty white. If you like white noise, that's great, but that's all you're getting. We got 24/7. You can tap into the Word of God. You can tap into great teaching that'll lift you. What's God trying to say? He's saying, you're the generation. You're it. You're it. You're it. He's counting on us, don't you think?
Amen.
He's counting on us big time. And honestly, we have the fullest revelation. Amen. You know, people talk about, oh, I would have loved to live in the days of Jesus. I would have loved to live in this day and this time. I wouldn't want to live in any other time but right now.
That's right.
This current moment, 11/18 on November 26, 2023. I was born for this moment.
That's right.
And with great power comes great responsibility, as Spider-Man would quote, right? We've got great grace that's been given to our generation. And with that comes great responsibility. You say, well, what is the fullest revelation? I'm glad you asked. Turn over to Hebrews. You're in Hebrews. Turn to Romans 10. Romans 10, please. I want to reveal to you this morning the highest revelation that anybody can have from the Word of God. Romans chapter 10. You know this verse. You could quote it, many of you. Romans 10:17. Let's look at it together. So then faith cometh, how? By hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Has there ever been a generation that had so much hearing available to them as our generation? No, nobody. Nobody. We've got hearing galore available to us by the truckload. Hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, many translations actually, instead of saying by the Word of God, they say by the Word of Christ. Look, for example, at the, NIV? ESV, I'm sorry. Go ahead, pull that up. So faith comes from hearing. Read it out loud with me. And hearing through the Word of Christ. Look at the NLT version. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. How does faith come? Through hearing. You know, all of the Bible speaks to us, amen? But it's the parts that reveal Christ that reveal the highest revelation to you and I. Oh, my goodness. My phone's on, sorry. Someone just rang my doorbell. Okay, Amazon, whatever. Faith comes through hearing the Word of Christ. What is God's supreme revelation? What is the highest revelation you can get from God? It's not that David was a great king. It's not that Moses split the Red Sea. It's not that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Those are all great truths, and they're part of the body of truth. The Bible is the embodiment of truth. But what is the highest revelation in this book that we're holding in our hands today, in our laps today? It is Christ. Christ is the highest revelation of God. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take, for example, Job, right? Job lived before Moses. Job lived before the Old Covenant, technically. He is considered the oldest book in the Bible, Job. And Job lived in a time when people did not understand much at all about the devil, at all. And so in the opening verses of Job, we see a dialogue going on between God and the devil. And what does that dialogue tell us? That God said, have you seen anybody else on earth like Job? He's quite a guy, isn't he? And Satan says, you know, if you let me touch him, you let me crush him, he'll curse you. So it's a big challenge, right? And God let Satan go so far, but without killing Job. And in the process, Job uttered some words. And those words are found in chapter 1. I think it's around verse 21. You can look it up later. Job made the remark. He said, the Lord gives, You hear it at funerals, bad funerals all the time. And the Lord taketh away. Let me ask you something. Is that truth? It is in the book that embodies truth.
Yes.
Amen. It's part of the Bible, so we would say that is part of the truth. But are those true words? Even in his own life, we understand, because we can read it right here in print, and we can see from the story that the Lord gave, but the devil took away. Amen. So let's quote that appropriately. I say that as an example. At his time, in all fairness to Job, that's the best he knew. And he wasn't cursing God or belittling God by putting God on that level of saying, the Lord has given to me and the Lord has taken away. He just didn't understand about who the devil really was. That's the highest revelation he understood. And so he described it as being, well, God gave it to me. I guess he has a right to take it away. And that's a good attitude, isn't it? But it's not the truth for us as New Testament saints. Amen. The Lord giveth, the Lord does not taketh away. The devil taketh away. Jesus revealed it clearly. He said, the thief cometh but to steal. And he wasn't identifying himself with the thief. Amen?
That's right.
So those words are in the Bible. They're part of truth, but that is not a true statement. Are you with me?
Yep.
Let me give you another example. In the New Testament, Acts 28, around about verse 4, Paul was shipwrecked. Paul and these prisoners that were on this ship, they swam for a nearby island. It was nighttime. It was beginning to be dawn, I believe, in the story. And they swam for this island. The boat was being broken apart by the waves. They swam for their lives. They landed on this island called Malta. The natives were kind to them. They started to build a fire to warm them because it was raining. Can you imagine being shipwrecked on a rainy night? I mean, it's bad enough to be shipwrecked, right, Ben? But on a rainy night, right? So they're in the rain, they're cold, they're freezing from the ocean. They build a big fire. Sounds like a good thing to do, right? And Paul is gathering up some firewood, and guess what? As he starts to throw the firewood on the fire, a snake bites him and latches onto him. You talk about a fearful moment in the natural. It's bad enough to be bit by a snake, but if he stays put, that's real bad. But Paul's not worried about it. What does he do? He shakes it off in the fire. And the natives make a remark, and this remark is in your Bible. Put it up there, please, for me. Acts 28, 4. This man must be a murderer, they said, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live. That's in print in your Bible. But is it true? Is it true revelation? Well, when you think about it, Paul had been a murderer, but he's now a new creation. Amen? So it was not true that the snake bit Paul because he was a murderer. The snake bit Paul just because he didn't want to go in that fire. Well, the very same people that uttered that a few verses later, they said, when he shook it off and he had no ill effects, they said, oh, he must be a god. I mean, which is it, right? So people utter things. We have revelation in the Bible. But the highest revelation is what?
Christ.
Amen. Jesus is God's supreme revelation. Amen. Don't miss it. The highest revelation you can get from the Word is Jesus Christ. And what do I mean by that? Jesus was the Father's expression on earth. He told Philip in John chapter 14, he said, Philip, have I been with you so long and you're still asking the question, show us the Father? He said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What was he saying? If you've seen me heal the sick, what do you think the Father's attitude towards sickness is? He wants them healed. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what Jesus told Philip. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is God's highest revelation to man. And you know, when Jesus walked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the four Gospels, you'll see people, when they came to Jesus for healing, many times they would say something like this, have mercy, have mercy. Why would they say that? Because all of mankind knows sickness, either directly or indirectly, comes as a result of sin in our life, in our planet and in our own world. Amen? And sometimes in our own life. And they were people that knew, they understood this. I probably deserve this illness. You ever felt that way? You're sick in your body and you think, well, you know, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I didn't forgive my sister-in-law, whatever. You know, in the back of your mind, many times a thought will come up that says, you know, maybe there's a reason for this in me. And so these people would come to Jesus and they would say, Lord, I know I don't deserve this, so have mercy. And you know, when you're praying that, when you're asking for that, that could be a yes or no proposition. I mean, he may or he may not have mercy. But again, for you and I in this generation, with the book we have in our hands, praise the Lord, with the understanding we have from the new covenant, we understand this. We don't have to ask for mercy. Calvary was God's expression of mercy to the sinner. Amen. Calvary is God's highest revelation of what does God think of sinful people, broken people, people that miss it, miss the mark. He had mercy on us. Amen. He had mercy on us. No question. We don't have to ask or wonder in our mind, will God be merciful to me or is he mad at me right now? Am I sick because God's mad at me? Sometimes we think that. I mean, even if not consciously, subconsciously, we sometimes wonder, you know, maybe this came on me because God's kind of upset. I did something wrong. Well, yeah, he's perfect. I mean, there's a good chance I did something imperfect somewhere along the way, right? But God reveals to us in the act of Calvary, he is merciful to all. Amen. And don't you love that Calvary sums up both the mercy toward our sins and the healing? We get it all, a complete package right there in the expression of Calvary. We get our sins forgiven. We get our diseases healed. Amen. Just like Psalm 103, when we've been reading that lately. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. He forgives all mine iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Amen. In Calvary, he did it all. And he offers it to all. Yes. Right? We see that all throughout the Gospels. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Amen. That whosoever believeth on him. Amen. I love that word, whosoever. It tells me God's not playing favorites. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. He's a respecter of faith. He's a respecter of faith. Well, we shared with you last week the idea of the Etch-a-Sketch. You remember that illustration I gave you? You know, when you used to doodle on the Etch-a-Sketch and you got rid of it at the end, you wanted to erase the picture. You just kind of shook it and everything just went away, right? And the new versions, they have something probably like you slide it and just... And just everything disappears, right? Well, we understand at Calvary, our sins were washed away. Amen. Yes. Not just the sins we committed up until the time we received Jesus, but every sin of our life, our entire life. Amen. That has been dealt with in the blood. Do you believe it? Yes. Otherwise, Jesus would have to die again. Amen. If I sin tomorrow and that blood hasn't covered it, he would have to suffer again. No, the blood covers my whole life. Amen. Well, if the blood does, then how about the stripes on his back? I'm telling you, he healed every disease, even stuff we've not yet been afflicted with, saints. Right. Amen. Amen. You stub your toe tomorrow, he's got you covered, right? You break a bone tomorrow, he's got you covered. Right. Disease tries to flare up in your body 10 years from now, he's got you covered. Amen. Why? Because the stripes were a one-time purchase, a one-time sacrifice, a one-time work that was completed, and it's sealed for eternity for us. Amen. Amen. It's sealed for us and our children's children. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you briefly today, about two types of healing. You know, there are many ways for us to appropriate healing in our life. You can have prayer, you can have hands laid on you, you can have anointing of oil, etc., gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I want to focus in on two types. And in this, I hope to bring some clarity that will distinguish between a what-if kind of experience or I can have this anytime I need it. Amen? Let's look at it real quick. Two types of healing. Let me explain the first type and do this comparison or this analogy. One type of healing is like lightning. Lightning. What does lightning do? It strikes, right? But you can't determine. It hits now and then. You don't know when it's going to hit. You don't know how, where, or when. Amen? And this is like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of healing that are released, miracles that are released in special meetings. You come to a special church, you know, you see an advertisement, you know, special healing minister going to be ministering Friday night at such and such church, or miracle crusade, you know, come to this miracle crusade meeting and God will meet you. And you come and you're thinking to yourself, is this my night? Right? You ever been there? Right? You got an ailment in your body and you're thinking, man, I've had prayer. I've prayed myself. I've had my pastor pray, but I'm going to this special meeting and maybe this will be my night. To get struck by lightning. No, to get struck in a sense by the Holy Ghost. Listen, this type of healing comes, and it is a method. It is a legitimate method. The gifts of the Spirit are manifest, amen, for our good. And it comes, but it comes as God wills. In other words, it's initiated by God. If you're in a meeting like that, and someone calls, like this morning, we called out for the Holy Spirit shone his light on something related to the brain. Amen? That was God's focus for today. Well, you say, well, I got a sore knee. That's not my brain, you know? Well, you know, you might feel like you come to a meeting like that, and somehow you get looked over, right? Lightning struck over here, but not over there. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit move under God's direction. They are initiated by him. If you're taking notes, write that phrase, initiated by him, right? They are given as he wills. That's one type of healing, and it's legitimate. Let me give you some examples. The man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus came to him. There were many sick people laying around that pool, right? Waiting for the moving of the water. But Jesus came to the man at the pool, and Jesus brought healing to him with very little to no faith required on the part of the recipient, right? Jesus just brought it to him. Think of the lady we talked about last week, the woman who had been bowed down for 18 years. She just showed up at church. Well, she did her part there, didn't she? But Jesus called her forward. He said, come here. He called her up. And he said, woman, you're loosed, right? She didn't have to exercise her faith. He just spoke it. Amen. He just, boom, lightning struck. Boom, you're loosed. And then he put his hands on her and boom, she straightened up. That's lightning. How about the widow's son in a town called Nain? Look at that with me in Luke chapter 7. Let's look at that together. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. So he's got this big entourage following him. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus did this miracle without any faith on the part of the mom, and obviously not the son's faith, right? Yeah. He's dead in the box. Jesus just said, I'm giving this today. Boom, lightning has struck. And the son is raised from the dead. Amen? You see that? Now, let me tell you about a different kind of healing. And it's more like electricity. Electricity. And unlike lightning that strikes at random, electricity flows freely. Amen? Electricity flows freely. Write that down if you're taking notes. Flows freely. Praise the Lord. It's activated not by God, but by faith. In other words, it's initiated not by God, but by the believer. You see the difference? Yeah. In the first type of healing, those miracles that Jesus did, again, many times no faith required on the part of the recipient. Jesus just brought the healing to them. But in this type of healing, it flows freely. In other words, it's available 24/7, but it's activated by the believer, initiated by the believer. Let me give you some examples. The woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says, and she heard of Jesus. What is that? That's hearing the word of Christ, like we read in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Not just about that it was a great Bible story that David slew Goliath. That's a great story, and that's truth. Or that Samson slew 1,000 Philistines. That's a great story. That's truth. And they can be symbolic of Jesus, but ultimately the highest revelation we can receive, and the revelation that builds faith, is she heard the word of Christ. She heard about Jesus, and she said within herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. What happened? She turned the faith switch on. She turned the switch on to draw from Jesus the healing that she believed was a part of. What did she hear about Jesus? She heard that he touched lepers, that he raised the dead, like we just read in Luke 7. She heard that he healed and even associated with sinners and healed people that didn't deserve healing. Maybe people she knew, people that had a reputation in her mind. And they weren't perfect people, but Jesus was merciful and he healed them. You know, I shared this last week. Let me say it again. When you read the Gospels, what you're seeing is Jesus giving an appetizer to the Jews of what would be available to all of mankind after Calvary. Amen. That's right. You say, why did Jesus heal all those Jewish people? You know, they weren't perfect. No, he was portraying among his own people what would soon be given to all of mankind through Calvary. It's a picture of that. That's why he never turned away one person for healing. Sorry, Chosen, you got it wrong. I love the series, but that one episode, Jesus isn't going to leave anybody sick to teach him a lesson or, you know, this side of heaven. Amen. Don't bash Dallas, he's a good guy, but I'm sorry, they just missed it on that episode. Jesus never turned anyone away that came to him for healing. Why? Because it was a prophecy, a picture of what he was about to bring to all of mankind through Calvary. How about another example? The Syrophoenician woman. She lived up there near Lebanon, north of Israel. Syrophoenician. What does that tell you? She lived in a country where there was idolatry. There was all kinds of sexual perversion and things. It would have been easy in that environment for a child to be traumatized and eventually have her life open to demonic influence and demonic possession. The woman came to Jesus begging him, please, please deliver my daughter. She's suffering with demons. And Jesus said, this healing is for the Jews. She turned she didn't just turn the electricity on. She broke the Hoover Dam. She said, yes, but she in something inside her, I believe, had an inkling that Jesus was just merciful enough that there would come a time that these kinds of meals, these happy meals of healing, would be available not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And she drew on that by faith. Amen. She pulled from Jesus by faith and said, "Yes, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs under the table." And Jesus said, "Woman, you have great faith." He only said that to two people. Both of them were non-Jewish. Did you ever notice? The centurion and the Syrophoenician woman. Two people he ever said had great faith. And she pulled ahead of time. She pulled post-Calvary blessings into pre-Calvary era. She drew. Man, she pulled that electricity. And Jesus healed her daughter. And again, the centurion, right? Had the servant at home. And he said, sent the word to Jesus that said, he even told Jesus how to do it. Who tells Jesus how to do the healing? He said, "But Lord, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." I mean, he drew big time in faith. Do you see it? I want to tell you this. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6:2, around about there, it says, "Now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation." Amen? If God gave you his favor at Calvary 2,000 years ago, then you have it today. No questions asked. You don't have to say, "Lord, have mercy." He's had mercy on you. It's been waiting for 2,000 years to be unleashed on you. Now is the time of his favor. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. The minute sickness hits you, it's the day of salvation. It's the day of your healing. You don't have to beg for it. Well, much of Jesus' healing ministry operated this way. We only tend to think of the healings where he just sovereignly touched people. Amen. The guy at Bethesda, the child raised from the dead in Nain, etc. But much of Jesus' ministry operated this way, stimulating, drawing faith in the people through teaching, and then they drew from him in their healing. Amen. Let me give you two examples. Luke 5:15, if you're taking notes. Multitudes came together to hear and be healed. Say that with me. Hear and be healed. Say it again. Hear and be healed. How did they get their healing? By first hearing. How does faith for healing come? By the word of Christ. Hearing. Hearing. Amen. Anytime you hear a testimony, what does it do? It builds your faith. It builds your faith for you to get your healing. Amen. That's Luke 5:15. Matthew 4:23 says, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness." Matthew 4:23. What did he do? He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Say it with me. Teaching, preaching, and healing. What follows teaching and preaching? Healing. Amen. But sometimes it has to start with teaching and preaching. We want to jump to the healing. Why? Because we want relief. If you're in pain, you want some relief. But listen, you're not going to get there sometimes except to go through preaching and teaching. Why? Because you need your faith built to draw from the Lord that which is yours. Unless you're going to be struck by lightning, of course. Right? And there are those moments. Praise the Lord for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's not to knock the gifts of the Spirit moving in a service or going to a special meeting. Hey, if you need healing, you ought to be in every special meeting there is. Amen. Because it might be your night. A gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the gifts of the Spirit move, when the gifts of the Spirit touch us, again, it's God overwhelming us with very little effort on our part. How many of you have experienced that before? You've been in a meeting. Amen. You've been in a meeting and someone said, boom, the Lord's healing this tonight. We've seen it in our own congregation. Years ago, we had a meeting, and the Lord began to move in word of knowledge through me. And I said, "Lord, today is healing backs and this and that." And people came forward, and they were like, "I'm already healed." Debbie's got such strong pace. She pulls on God so quick. She gets healed before we get ever prayed for most of the time. But, you know, it just happens that way. Sometimes the word of knowledge, when God says, "God's touching backs tonight," well, God reveals that in that moment. And many times, he's actually done the work before we can even pray for him.
Amen.
He's just saying, "I'm doing this. Like it or not, I'm doing it." And so that's the way the words of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit move. But many men, John G. Lake included, I've shared with you about John G. Lake. He's a guy that emptied hospitals. He shut down hospitals years ago in the Washington area, West Coast part of the United States. His healing ministry was so impactful that the hospitals were closing around him. And one of the things that John G. Lake is also known for, not just his healing ministry, but his what they called the healing rooms. Right? How many of you ever heard of the healing rooms by John G. Lake? Right? Because what they would do is they'd bring people in. And before they pray for them, they'd teach them. And they'd teach them some more. Amen? Until their faith rose to the level they said, "Now you're ready to be prayed for." Amen? And years later, Raymond Bible College, they followed suit. They had healing school, they called it. Amen? Anybody heard of healing school at Raymond? And what do? They teach people. They teach them. What? Just like the example of what I shared from Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and then healing. Amen? The preaching and teaching must precede it many times. You've got to build people's faith to receive from God. Well, listen, every believer has this opportunity, this electricity drawing kind of opportunity when it comes to healing. You don't have to wait for lightning to strike. Amen? But it's going to require something on your part. What is it? You're going to have to build your faith. And there are many ways to do it. You can listen to testimonies. Like I said, this generation, we have access to things nobody else had. You can pull up, you know, as I said, you're suffering in the middle of the night, pull up YouTube and look up, you know, miracle testimony of such and such, similar to your case. And you can listen to testimonies of people that have been healed by the Lord in your particular category of suffering. Amen. Over and over. And that will build your faith. As I said earlier, we've got apps. We've got Christian television. We've got all kinds of teaching available to us. Listen, most Christians, when it comes to healing, this is the way they think. Their lone default is, I'm sick. Pray for me. Pray for me. That's their natural go-to. And we don't want to discourage that at all here at church. Amen. As I've said many times, this is a house of prayer. And so if you come to church and you're sick, we want you to come forward and be prayed for. But listen, ultimately, we all have to develop our faith to the point of carrying our own load.
That's right.
Others can't perpetually carry us on their faith. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you haven't understood it yet, but it's a reality. Wake up.
Yeah.
Hello. Amen. Amen. When you come into the body of Christ, when you got saved, if you're a baby Christian, this is all new to you, that's okay. You got to come at every altar call. Amen. You need healing in your body, just come. Just come. But listen, there comes a point in time in which the Lord says, now you got to develop your faith.
Yes.
You got to build your faith. You got to walk in your faith. And it's a muscle you develop. How? By hearing the word of Christ.
Amen.
By hearing what Jesus has done in other people's lives through the gospel, through modern testimonies, etc., through the word. Faith is the hand that reaches out and takes what grace has given. Faith is your hand. And none of us should have a shriveled hand when it comes to faith for receiving. Amen. We should have a strong, strong hand muscles that reach out on a constant basis. Amen. Every time God answers your prayers, that's your hand getting stronger and stronger to take things by faith from the Lord. Amen. And you say, Pastor, how do I develop that? How do I develop my hand of faith? Let me give you one scriptural example. Proverbs chapter 4. Look over there in Proverbs 4, verse 20. A well-known verse to most of us, Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20 says this, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Isn't it amazing how quickly we forget the Bible? How quickly we forget these divine truths that we read in this? I'm a waste. Every couple of days, I kind of embarrass myself. I read something in the Bible. I go, oh, yeah, I should have that on the tip of my tongue day and night, you know? But there it is again, right? Why? We just leak. Amen? Faith leaks. And that's why we need to do what the writer of Proverbs here says. We've got to attend to his words, incline our ears to his sayings, let them not depart from our eyes. In other words, keep them before you always. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life, verse 22, unto those that find them. They are health to all their flesh. Amen. And then verse 23 goes on to say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How do you build the hand of faith, the taking hand of faith? You keep these words of life before you always. You attend to these words. Amen. You incline your ear to these words. You keep them in the midst of your heart. What does that mean? They're always before you.
Amen.
You say, well, if I do that, I won't have time to watch Netflix. Okay, have it your way. Listen, we have a life. Christians have a life, and it's beyond Netflix. And if you want healing in your life, you're going to have to turn off the tube here and there, and you're going to have to attend unto the words of God.
That's right.
Right? Because other people's faith can only carry you so far. Amen. Praise God for it. I don't care how it takes to get you healed. Let's get you healed one way or the other. But listen, when the pain hits you in the middle of the night, when suffering hits you, when you're not at church and there's no preacher around to pray for you, no evangelist to lay hands on you, you got to have some faith. And you build that faith by attending to God's word. Again, it's not just the words of the Bible in general, but the words of Christ. Because Jesus is the highest revelation. Amen. And what do we see in Jesus? He healed them all. He healed them all. He turned no one away. Amen. So you got to get that in your mind foremost. God is going to heal me, even old me. Amen. He heals all my diseases. Amen. That's what we got to be thinking. Praise the Lord. And then as I quoted at the beginning of the message, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Preaching, teaching, testimonies, YouTube, the Victory app, all these things will fill your ears with the word of Christ and build your hand of faith. The Lord gave me this phrase. I shared it with you a couple times in the last couple months. If healing is for anyone, healing is for everyone.
Yes.
I believe that. Amen. On this side of the cross, we understand that. If healing is for anyone, it's for everyone. Because God doesn't play favorites. Amen. If he healed one over here of cancer, he'll heal you of cancer. If he healed one over here of paralysis, he'll get you up out of the wheelchair. Amen. Healing is for anyone, but it's for everyone. Amen. God doesn't play favorites. God is no respecter of persons. Praise the Lord. And finally, let me say this. Receiving by faith is the one thing God cannot and will not do for you because it's your part. He's done his part. That's called Calvary. It's the work of the cross. Jesus taking the stripes on his back. Every Easter, Terry and I watch The Passion of the Christ, amazing movie. And there have been people that have been healed just by watching The Passion because they understand when they see it on the big screen, they feel like they're Prophet Isaiah. By his stripes I was healed. They're seeing it right there in Technicolor before their eyes. And, you know, just keeping these thoughts before you. You have a part to play, and that is taking healing by faith. And God won't do it for you. Not for the mature Christian. Amen. How many mature Christians we have in here? I didn't call you old. I just said mature Christians. We don't have any old people at our church. That's true. Stand together with me. Develop the hand of faith because receiving is our part. Amen. We can turn on the faith switch any moment, any time, 24/7. And we do it by hearing the words of Christ, by attending to the words of Christ. That's how we build our faith, to draw healing like the examples we read about in the book. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for the promise of health. We thank you that Jesus has completed the work. We thank you that the stripes of Jesus have been borne, that you have removed our sickness as far as the east is from the west. Just like you removed our sins, you've removed our sickness in Jesus. And we believe it, we receive it, and we thank you for the truth of it. I thank you for revealing to us today, Lord, how we can draw from you our healing and walk in your divine health. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I don't want to assume everybody here, just because you're in the house, that you're a Christian necessarily. Just because a person stands in the garage doesn't make them a car. Just because you come to church doesn't necessarily make you a born-again believer. So with our heads bowed for just another moment, I want us to pray this prayer together to make Jesus our Savior and Lord. Amen. Would you pray this with me? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I believe he was crucified, buried, and on the third day arose for my justification, for my acquittal, from all guilt and shame. Thank you, Father, for saving me by the blood and the resurrection of Jesus. I call you my Lord and my Savior, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah. On the same note, let's make him our healer today. Are you ready? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to suffer for me. I believe he bore those stripes on his back to carry my pain, to carry my sickness. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me from sickness and disease, from pain and suffering. I make you today my great physician, my healer. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me by your stripes. Hallelujah. Let's give him thanks for a moment. Let's just tell him how much we appreciate that he has carried our disease. He's taken every sickness. He's dealt with the sin issue. And so he's given us his mercy and his healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you today, Jesus, that your stripes have healed us. The eternal work is done. And we agree with your words and we say, it is finished. It is finished. Hallelujah. Paul told young Timothy, he said, this is how you war a good warfare. He said, with the prophecies that have been given you. Well, I'm telling you, we have a whole book of prophecies right here. Amen. This is how we war our good warfare. We say what he says. Remember what I shared with you last week? It was a Keith Moore quote. It was so good. If you'll say what he says, he'll do what you say. Say that with me. If you'll say what he says, he'll do what you say. We don't say God will heal me. We say God has healed me by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. We say it his way because that's faith talking. Are you with me? It's a little different, but that's how faith talks. Faith calls it done before it sees it even beginning. So you can rejoice. You can do the happy dance even before your feet stop aching. Amen. Before the pain leaves your body, you can go ahead and celebrate in Jesus. Amen. Well, I feel your faith growing. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed, healed week, and let's get warmed up for the Christmas season in Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.